I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough.
How many knows what I'm talking about?
Who came along and putting me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you, nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you see them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace will find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You turn beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. Turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. This is why. You turn grace into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can.
to him tonight. Let him turn it around. Now,
you turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into army. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can.
You believe that tonight? Give him a shout of praise. Yes, Lord. Everybody knows tonight that the resurrection of Jesus put down every work of darkness, put everything underneath your feet. You have victory tonight because of what Jesus did when he rose from the dead.
Head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior nailed to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love, now shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Fear that held us now gives way to him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. Your name is victory. Your praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. Our praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. Our praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. Our praise will rise to Christ our by your Spirit, Lord. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King.
victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Resurrecting me. The tomb where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the grave.
Yes, it has. Come on.
Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King.
By your Spirit, Lord, come on.
By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrecting King is resurrecting me.
Oh, somebody ought to praise him. Come on.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Singing of the goodness of God. Boy, that'll bring in the presence of the Lord, won't it? Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for all your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and for your glory. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord God. We give you praise. We give you praise, Lord God. And we're going to continue our worship and giving. Hallelujah. We're just going to receive the tithe and offering. If the ushers would go ahead and come.
From chapter number 3. Good to see in God's house tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. On this hot Wednesday. Somebody said y'all sure were quiet. And I said it's because y'all been hot. Colossians chapter number 3. And the Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen. We're going to read that again. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, as we said, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. And I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus to come and give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation tonight. Holy Spirit, we say we desperately need you to guide our every thought, every word, that you'll speak to me, through me, and for me. We thank you for the anointing of your presence and all that you do. We give you praise for. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Amen. We talked about this a little bit Sunday evening, that I believe that we are at a crossroads of two ages. And when the new millennial started, it seemed that we saw everything just begin to plummet in a certain direction. I call it going south. And how that in the 1970s and let's just say through the 80s and the 90s, things began to shift and change, but there was a real moving of God in the earth, the charismatic renewal, and great men of God were teaching and preaching the word, and God was moving with signs, wonders, and miracles, and he was teaching his body. One of the things that I know that I myself, that the Lord drew me to teach on in the 1980s especially, and in the 90s, was the maturity of the saints. And I harped on it, and I harped on it, and I harped on it, and I'm glad I did. So I'm going to harp on it a little bit more. Now look at somebody and say, it's time to grow up. Time to grow up. Have you ever looked at your kid and say, man, you better grow up? You ever looked at your child and said that? Man, you better grow up. How old are you? How old are you? And so it's important. I want to say this to you in light of what is coming upon the world. And that is, it is of utmost importance that we mature in Christ Jesus. And that we be founded on the Word of God. That our love be without dissimulation. That we be a people of unity and not divided. That we be a people that really understand that we are the body of Christ, and God in heaven wants to do great things with us in the last days. I'm going to tell you, this world is falling apart at the seams. And that does not negate the fact that the prophets have prophesied about revival. Revival is happening in parts of America like we have never seen it happen before. In states where it seemed like Satan had strongholds, and like those states would just go down the tube and go straight to hell, we see revival breaking out right now. And God is definitely moving in powerful, powerful ways. One of the things we saw in the last election, it was like the places that God was moving, that those are the places that were attacked. And so even when you look at our nation's capital and saw the things that happened there and the blame that was shifted and put on the wrong people and the hidden things that took place, in the midst of that, you have to understand that that's just God shaking stuff up. When God shakes things up, that's so that he can shake the bad stuff away enough that people can see really what's going on, and so that we can come to an awakening in our life. And so one of the things that God began to deal with me about and has for several months, you know, is about the maturity of the body of Christ. One of the things that we see is the maturity of the harvest. Things that people sown are now reaping. Things that our nation has sown years past, we're now reaping. The nations of the earth. And I think that one of the things we're seeing right now is sheep and goat nations that are appearing. I mean, nations that are turning to communism full-heartedly. I was speaking to a lady today and about the nation of Peru and how it's gone to communism and that things have changed there. I remember years ago that I had a man here from Peru, and he was in love with the Lord and stayed with us in our house, and he was wanting God to pour out his spirit over there. And I was just thinking about him. I wonder how he is doing. And, because communism is not a good thing. We see that in America today, you know, socialism, communism. And I think we're even probably swinging past socialism and entering into communism. And I think it's just real important right now for the body of Christ to really understand playtime is over. I mean, it's really over. Because if we don't see the heavens really rent from state to state to state to state, we're going to see an introduction to communism like we've never seen before in America. If we don't understand as the body of Christ who we are, it's like the Apostle Paul, you know, and Peter and Jude and John talking to the church, and when they were referring to really the spirit of Antichrist and all that he's doing, the whole world is under the sway of Antichrist right now. We have to be careful as God's people not to get under that spirit, because you can get anti against one another. You can get anti against God's gifts. You can get anti against the things of Christianity and not even realize that you're in the middle of it. And really what that is, that you're under the sway of the Antichrist. And so we're going to read this scripture again tonight, because we're at the crossroads of two ages. And it'll take a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost to bring in the new that God really wants to bring. How many, you see, I believe that the devil is being removed from lots of different things. I know this sounds contradictory tonight, but it is. It's like a contradiction, but that's the way that God often moves, is that you see one thing happening and that's just a smoke screen. And as we said the other night, you know, in prayer meeting, I've mentioned this in ministering, people don't die from fire, they die from smoke inhalation. And there's a lot of smoke that's out there right now. And so it's important for you to have Holy Ghost breath, Holy Ghost wind, keeping your fire stoked and burning and drawing close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to read the scripture tonight again from Colossians, and I want you to keep this in mind. Paul is not writing to sinners. Paul is writing to saints. He's writing to believers. Listen to what he says. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. And set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And then in verse 5, it's like he comes in, it's like boom. And I'm like, here he is, man. I mean, it's like he's telling us that we're dead and, you know, and talking about Jesus and setting our affections on him. But he's instructing us that we need to get our head screwed on tight. Listen to what he says. Mortify. Everybody say mortify. Mortify. That word means put to death. Put to death your members. That doesn't mean church members. It means our members, your tongue, your eyes, your hands, your feet, your body, your sex, everything from head to toe. Listen to what he's saying. You need to put it to death. This is what he's saying. And didn't Jesus tell us that when he said, any man that wants to be my disciple, he's got to pick up his cross, follow me. So the connotation there is that when you pick up a cross, you're crucifying yourself daily. You're dying daily. Always remember, the cross stands for death. We look at that cross, and I'm going to tell you something. There's songs talk about the beautiful cross and everything, but it's ugly. It's a curse. Everything. That's where Jesus took your sin. I mean, it's the old rugged cross. I believe that. But I want you to understand tonight what's happening here. And so Paul says this, and the Lord began to deal with me, you know, about tonight. And he said, he's talking about this. So we're talking about soul power and spirit power Wednesday night. Your soul is your emotions. It's your will. It's your desires. That's where your thoughts are formulated and everything is here. Hear, smell, touch, all these things, and you know, that we have in the world in which we live. And so we're a visual, physical people. We're that way. And so the Apostle Paul comes along here and he's telling us something that's very, very important. He says, look, he said, you cannot afford to let your soul lead in your life. I'm going to say that again. You can't afford to let your soul lead in your life. Amen. So what's he talking about? Okay, listen here. This is your soul. The only place that this stuff can dwell is in your soul. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. That's a good one, isn't it? Evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. And I'm going to stop right there, and you know, because I'm going to go to read in just a few moments. That I want you to think about what he's saying. These works of the flesh, these fleshly things, can only take place in the soul. Somebody said, "What do you mean?" That talks about when your soul is out of control and it's been fed with sight and hearing and smell and touch and stuff. Because it's not focused on things above, it's focused on things here and now. Okay? Somebody say, here and now. So listen to what he goes on to say. In the which you also walked some time. So he's pointing to your past. Because every one of us here tonight, at some time or other, we're in some of that right there. Don't look so holy. I know you were. The Bible said it. God's word says it. All right? Now listen to what he says. He said, when you lived in them. So he's telling you, he said, look, you already know the works of the flesh. You know what it is. You were a sinner before you came to Christ. You had a lot of this stuff going on. But now you also put off all these. Put them off. And he comes up with a whole nother list. Look at somebody said, there's more to the story. More to the story. Listen to what he says. But now you also put off all these. And church, I'm going to tell you something. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He said, put off your anger. Put off your wrath. Put off your malice. That's an evil thought life, actually. When you begin to think things about you want to see somebody fail or get hurt or glad it happened or that kind of stuff. You may not have done it, but you thought it. Filthy communication, blasphemy. He said, now put this stuff off, all of these. Put them off, put them away, put them away, put them away from you. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man. He's talking about the person of sin with his deeds. See, Christ is, you know, Christ wants you to know, and we'll get into his words here in a minute. It's my desire, is that we understand that the moment that we became born again, we became a new creation in God, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And somebody says that's elementary. It's not elementary when we're doing this stuff. Because listen, the wrath of God, everybody say the wrath of God, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Now listen to what he says. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So he's saying God wants us to be like him. WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? How would he act? What would he say? You know, how would he react in your situation? And this, we say things like this. Well, I'm not Jesus. You're supposed to be. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just not Jesus. Well, that's who you're supposed to attain to be like. The Bible says, it didn't say put on you, it says put on him. What would Jesus do? Somebody say, what would Jesus do? So we are to set our affections on things above, not on things of this world. And we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to say, and make no provision for the flesh. Don't you make a place for these lies, this filthy communication, this malice, this wrath, this greed, this anger, all these deeds that are sinful. Do not do that. He said, stay away from the fornicating and the uncleanness and the inordinate affection and the evil and the covetousness, which is idolatry. Stay away from those things. Stay away from them. And so as God began to deal with me and I was reading this, because I want to read to you tonight from 1 John chapter number 2. Everybody turn there with me. 1 John chapter number 2. And I'm just going to read down. And we're going to see some things in here tonight that I believe the Spirit of God wants us to see. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. For he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. He is our atoning sacrifice. And hereby we do know that we know him if, everybody say if, we know that we know him, everybody say we know that we know him if. What if word is a hard one to get around sometimes. It's little, but it's powerful. Everybody say, how can two letters get me like that? If. Everybody say, if. 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 Listen to what he says. If. If. If we keep his commandments. Did you get that? He that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar. I didn't say it, God did. Now see, the thing about, the only way that the Holy Ghost can get in us and help us clean up our life is if we get confronted with truth of the word. Because you can't get mad at God. Well, you can get mad at him, but it won't do you any good. You can get mad at me, it won't do you no good. Amen? You get mad at yourself, it won't do any good. You got to change. Somebody say change. This is what he says. He that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, or Jesus the Lord, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked, God walked, Jesus walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. Your old sinful man is supposed to be dead. Get out of the graveyard and quit trying to dig a stinking thing up. What would you want to dig a dead carcass up for? The putrid, horrible smell of it. Listen, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And that's what Jesus said. He said, he that walketh in the day can't stumble in the night, because it's daytime all the day when you're in Jesus. Somebody say, praise God. Amen. But now listen. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And so he's telling you something. So the moment that you begin to be disobedient to God's word and get over in one of these sins, you're playing with death. It's a dangerous place to be. When you begin to dig up something in your past, or you want to resurrect something in your past, or you want to pick up hatred or bitterness, or you want to pick up fornicating, or you want to pick up adultery, or you want to pick up, you know, idolatry. If you want to pick up, see, Paul goes through the whole list, anger, wrath, malice, all these different things. If you want to pick that up, Paul is telling you that you are playing with death. You might as well go get your rattlesnake and take it home with you and sit on the couch and watch TV and say, I wonder if he's going to bite me tonight. Listen. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. They're forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now listen to verse 15. What does it say? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Now I'm going to stop right there, because he starts talking about the last time in a minute, but it's something that I want to bring out here that the Holy Spirit began to deal with me about. And I was talking to Deborah today about this, is that there's a lot of people right now that are enticed by the world. I want you to think about, when we begin to think about the world, it's everything that glitters ain't gold. Because the world will offer you something, and the first thing that it's made out of is just a veneer. It's a facade. It's smoke. Because the world is constantly trying to draw you into one of these sins but also into wealth, also into power, also into fortune, also into fame, also into, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the world in which we live. But see, there are entire, and understand what I'm going to say tonight, there are entire ministries that are built on fame and fortune. And that doesn't mean go around trying to, you know, figure out, judge who it is and things like that. Because there's some pure ministries out there and there's some that aren't. But what I'm saying to you is this, is that we ourselves have got to guard our hearts from worldliness. Everybody say worldliness. Worldliness. That's when I put the ball game before God. That's when I put the boat before God. That's when I do something else on the Sabbath day rather than go to church and worship Him. That's when I start trending the ways of the world. That's when I start, listen, it's all right to lose weight if you lose it for the right reasons. It's okay to dress good, but if you dress in certain ways that are provocative, I can tell you, that's sinful. Amen. We forget about things like that, but you know, what's your motive? That's what you go by, because anything that's not of a pure motive is worldliness. It's worldliness. And so we have to be careful because, number one, the world is constantly wanting to entice us, and he's enticing what our soul desires. And so wherever you came out of, it's very important to understand that lots of times what Satan will do is he flips it because he knows you're serving God. So if he can't get you one way, he'll get you another. Try to draw you and entice you into the world in its ways. Amen. Now, listen to what he said. Little children, it's the last times. And you have heard that the Antichrist will come, and now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would, and no doubt, have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they went that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And it's talking right there. It's not talking about you thinking that you're in control of your life. It's telling you that the Holy Spirit within you will show you the right things in life to do. Because some of these people were denying Jesus is one of the things that they were wrestling with here. But now, I felt the Holy Spirit drawing me, you know, to deal with this tonight. And listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter number 9. And he said to them all, everybody say, he includes everybody, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gains the world and loses himself or be a castaway? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And then in Mark chapter number 4, verse 14 through 20, we're going to read this and then we're going to talk a little bit. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that is sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and so endure but a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. And, you know, he goes on to tell us that we're blessed in that. But I want to back up and I want to point out that right here what he says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word out. Everybody say the cares of this world. The cares of this world. And I just think it's really important tonight to understand that when he's talking about the cares and the rush of this life, that we are living in a time that we're social people. And one of the things that the enemy likes to do is to draw us out into social things and entrap us in the party spirit that Jesus talked about. Because when he addressed this, he said, in such an hour as the Son of Man comes, you're not even thinking about that. It's not going to be on your mind because you're going to be caught up. And this is what he says when he gets to that scripture. You'll be caught up in the cares and the rush of life. And then suddenly he is going to come. It's important to understand that Satan has a lot of smoke screens out there right now, and he's doing his best to lure people out into that smoke and destroy their lives and to kill them, because they're, it's like in the time in which we're living right now, it's hard for people to be able to see like they need to see, hard for people to hear what they need to hear. And so with the enemy drawing people out, think, I was just telling today, you know, some people don't even know how to age anymore. I mean, they have no idea, because we want to stay. Listen, I wished I was 30, but I'm not. Can I tell you tonight, if you're over 30, you ain't going back. And if you're 50, you ain't going back. You can stretch it, pull it, pump it, rub stuff on it. It ain't going to change nothing. I'm going to tell you that right now. You can have all that done, but at some point in time, 10 years later down the road, you're going to still be that same southern person. Everything's going south. Somebody says it's going south. Amen. Somebody say, gravity has its hold on me. But so likewise, we say to ourselves, what's my motive in that? What is my motive? Because number one, the foremost thing on our mind has to be the fact that in this hour, I've got to draw close to Jesus. I've got to move up closer to him. I need to pray more. I need to be in the word more. I need my relationship with him to be stronger than it has ever been before. And I need to do a checklist in my life. And I need to go back and I need to say, man, have I got anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication coming out of my mouth? Am I lying to people? Do I have deeds in my life and things going on that should not be going on? Do I have fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection? And, you know, am I in idolatry? You know, I need to take a checklist in my life, because the Apostle Paul tells us, listen, those who do this kind of stuff are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. See, I don't know why it's so quiet tonight, but it's true. We're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is what John says, and I wish I'd have brought my computer out here because I could have read it to you from the Message translation. But one of the things, you know, bring that here. I want to see that. Chapter 1 Peter chapter 2. Thank you. No, 1 John, I'm sorry. What did I say? 1 Peter. That's where you had it at. But one of the things that he addresses, you know, is that number one, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Once you began to sin, everybody say sin. If you begin to sin and do things that you did before you came to Christ, you are in a very dangerous place spiritually. Amen? Okay, here's a good one right here. Chapter 2. Here's how we can be sure that we know God in the right way. Keep his commandments. If someone claims that I know him well, but doesn't keep his commandments, he's obviously a liar. And see, this is the thing about it. We can lie to ourselves. We say, well, I don't care what the preacher said. I don't care what that man said. I don't care what that man said. Listen, this is the word. This is why we need to check ourselves. We need to go into the Bible and see what it says. If this stuff is going on in us, we better get a hold of God and find out, say, you know, am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? Am I right before God or am I wrong? You know what? Do I need to change and make some adjustments in my life? Or, you know, Jesus, just exactly what I need to do. Because we're living in an hour where we can't afford to be in a guessing game of straddling the fence somewhere and not know where we're headed. I want to know. See, he said, make your calling and election sure. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I don't want some joker standing behind a pulpit and telling me grace is going to cover it. That's the biggest lie you've ever heard in your life. You don't know what grace is. See, the old, see, it's like, we're not under the law. It's true. We're not under the old covenant. We're not. And what I'm telling you is we're not offering up sacrifices. We don't have to take a lamb, you know, once a year to Jerusalem. But I'm going to tell you one thing. We're under the Torah of God. We're under the same commands that are listed in that Ten Commandments that Jesus gave us, and he even gave us one that's more strenuous than all ten. Love your neighbor as yourself. And man, I'm going to tell you something. That can be a very difficult thing to do. So, well, who is my neighbor? It's the person sitting beside of you. It's the guy you live beside. It's the one that you work with. It's anybody in that genre. And you begin to think about it. And Jesus said, but a new commandment I give unto you, love your neighbor as yourself. Somebody say, love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, look, if you don't love your brother, he said, you're a liar. He said, you can't do that and call yourself a Christian. Listen, if someone claims I know him well, but doesn't keep his commandments. See, there's going to be people on that day that stand before God and say, Lord, haven't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we do all this stuff in your name? And Jesus is going to look at them. And this is an astounding statement for people that think once saved, always saved. Sorry, I never knew you. See, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that if you cease to walk with God and to know him in intimate relationship and continue on to know with him, he says, I'll forget about that. And if you start walking in an evil manner and live, you are denying God. See, that's what denying God is. It's supposed to say, I don't know Jesus. Didn't Peter do that? He repented too, didn't he? Okay. But the thing about it, see, when you deny him in your life, see, we think that blaspheming the name of God is saying GD. No. Blasphemy is not living a life that measures up to him. Study it. Study it. And see, we always, you know, when I was growing up, I said, I'm like, you know, and I don't like the word GD. And I'll tell you, if I ever hear it or have someone stand where I'm at, I will cut them off. I'll say, you stop that stuff right now. I don't want to hear it. But I want to say this to you tonight. Blaspheming the name of the Lord is when you live other than the way he told you to live. That's blaspheming him. And so we deny him in word and deed. That's what the scripture teaches us. We deny him. It's more than me standing up before somebody and saying, in a pressure moment, and somebody puts the gun to my head. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. I don't know Jesus. See, Peter got under that same pressure. And you're going to tell me that some joker that's living a life that's in total absolute contradistinction to what Jesus commands us to live is going to go to heaven, and the guy that sat there in a foul moment when somebody put a gun to his head because they'd beaten his kid and splattered the blood on the wall, and he gets in a weak moment and denies the Lord of the power of the blood of Jesus, can't handle something like that, and you want to tell me that some rascal that's lived in adultery and blasphemed God and did everything and went to church on Sunday and paid your tithe and sang in the choir but yet lived a life other than Jesus told him to live is going to heaven? I don't think so. Read the word. See, it's important for me to understand what denying Jesus is. Yes, it's certainly, I don't believe in the resurrection. I don't believe in the blood. I don't believe in all those things. But how many understand that that is a whole different level of living? That's like atheism. That's like a godless communistic theology. But it's important for believers, you know, when Paul is addressing the church here and he's telling them, he said, look, you guys used to live like the devil. He said, you once were, but now you are light. Walk as children of the light. It's what he tells the Ephesians and the Colossians. But he comes along here, John does, and he's basically telling us the same thing. He's talking about walking in the light. If we'll walk in fellowship with him. Now listen to what he says. Listen. If someone claims I know him, but doesn't keep his commandments, he is obviously a liar. His life doesn't match up his words. But the one who keeps God's word is the person in whom we see God's mature love. That is the only way to be sure we're in God. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. That's from the Message translation. All right, overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I'm already out of time. What's your testimony? This is my testimony from death to life. For Christ, grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. I'm washed in the blood. My sins are forgiven. The old man died. I'm not that person anymore. And I can tell you, out of all the years that I served Jesus, I have no desire to be that blasphemer and that liar. I have no desire to be the fornicator. I have no desire to be the evil person that I was. Because number one, when I sin, that quick the Holy Spirit lets me know. See, it's not a blatant sins with most of us. It's little things. It's our attitudes. It's our actions. It's the way we treat people and the Holy Spirit. Boom. But you know, you can get to a place where you can sear your conscience of that stuff. It's where we just do it and just think it ain't no big deal. I have the right to do it. We don't have any right to do that. Jesus changed us when we came to him. That's the marvelous thing about it. And that's what he's getting at right here. He said, look, man, he said, God absolutely, somebody say, God absolutely changed your life. And so this is what he's telling you. He said, look, don't you get caught up in all the junk that's going on around you. Don't get caught up, you know, in with negativity and conversations and backbiting and hearsay, and don't get caught up in all the skirmishes and all the different things that are out in life. He said, number one, this is what you should be doing, seeking those things which are above. I can tell you the things that I've walked away from the years, I don't have time. Somebody say, I ain't got time for that. I don't. Because the last thing in the world that you want is to be vomited on. That's right. How many like vomit? I didn't think so. And see, the thing about it, see, words like this are hard, but these are things that set us free. Right here is that when we understand, hey, man, my goal is to be like Jesus. Love covers a multitude of sin. Somebody say, yes, it does. And so we're coming to a crossroads in our nation. You listen to what I'm saying. We got goat nations, we got sheep nations, but we got goat people and we got sheep people. And there's coming a great separation. Remember in the Bible that God says, you know, don't you try to separate the wheat and the tares. He said, because when I come and my holy angels come, he said, I'll take care of it. I will separate the wheat from the tare. If you know anything about wheat and tares, they look alike from a distance. How do you separate the chaff from wheat? You start shaking the fire out of it and you throw it up, you winnow it, and the wind comes. Somebody say, amen. And it separates it. See, the Holy Spirit's saying, I want to get the chaff out of your life. I want to change you, but you got to let my wind blow over your life and you got to let me do it. Somebody say, amen. And so this is important because in the days to come, this is what I'm getting at. In the days to come, somebody say, the days to come. And I was thinking today, here China is, and they're wanting, you know, to go to a cashless society. That's what they're pushing on right now. China's goal is by 2025 to be the dominating currency of the world. They've been telling people this for years. They've had a plan and they've been going by it verbatim. They want to swallow the United States in communism. There's a lot of things that they want to do. And it's like the church, we want to sit down in the cat litter box and try to scratch around with one another and just try to cover stuff up. And God's saying, no, that's not going to work. Said, we're going to sift that stuff. We're going to get everything out in the open and we're going to get down to business because I'm coming after a holy body, one that's on fire, one that's glorious, one that's without spot, wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. He says, I'm coming after that and I'm going to mature my people. This is what I want. And I'm going to send my fire first. And so I believe the fire is already here. I believe it's going to continue to get more intense and burn brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. I had a lady to tell me today, she said, I don't like watered down milky, you know, Caesar milk toast stuff. She says, I want something that's right up in the face and tells me the truth. And I said, well, you're in the right place. Amen. That's not saying that anybody else is not preaching it, but I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a time where we can't afford to just cover stuff up and play in little sandboxes and be little children. That's the reason he's writing. He said, little children, let me say this to you. This wrath and malice and greed and idolatry and all this stuff. He said, this stuff that you used to do, he said, don't be getting in that. He said, you need to break free from it and get away from it. Somebody say yes, amen. Amen. And then he ends up, don't you lie one to another. In other words, don't even lie to, the best person to do is not lie to yourself. Put on the new man. Put on the new man that is renewed after the knowledge of the image of him that created you. Because God created you with a purpose. And so all this stuff is worldliness. Somebody say worldliness. So we think about, you know, and worldliness is so deceptive in the way that it works. It's because it's like the people that climb the corporate ladder. They step on you. They'll do anything to get to the top ladder. But what they don't understand is that when they come back down the ladder, because there's nowhere to go after you get to the top. And they will surely have to come back down the ladder. But when they come back down the ladder, they're going to have to face you going up. And see, God knows exactly how to work, you know, for us and in our lives. Amen. And so we want to shun the world and its ways. That's like dog eat dog, all this kind of stuff. Somebody say, stay away from it. Stay away from it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm going to have to stop here because I'm out of time. Let's stand together. I want to leave you with this scripture tonight out of Romans chapter number 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. You got to get in your mind. You're alive. You're put on the altar. You're being sacrificed every single day. You're a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship, is really what it is. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you know, there's nothing that makes you feel better than when you do the right thing. Amen? Even those hard times when God tells you, says, you got to go apologize to that person. I've had to do it. Did I like it? No. Amen. I ain't gonna do it. I've had to do it. But when you do it, it takes a better man. Somebody said it takes a better man and a stronger man or a better woman or a stronger woman to apologize, to release the love of God and allow the Holy Spirit to work. Somebody say this to me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, keep me from the world. Keep me from worldly ways. Keep me by your power. Help me, Holy Spirit, to live a transformed state of being, transformed by your word, transformed by your ways. I want your conviction in my heart and in my life. I do not want to be a castaway. I want to be a person that's on fire and that does what you want me to do in this hour. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, amen. Now, I told those people, Sunday morning, if you know somebody sick, you get them here. We're going to believe God to bring healing to people, amen? Going to bring healing. It's going to be a powerful service. I just know that it is. Praise God. We're going to talk about that tallit. We'll talk about what that those people at Jacinaret touched and what the woman, reached out and touched the hem of his garment, the tzitzit, and was healed of the power of God. And so Sunday morning is going to be an awesome, awesome time. If you know somebody that's got high blood, I don't know, everything from lupus to high blood pressure, low blood pressure, cancers, tumors, whatever, amen, God wants to do it. And so let's believe the Lord for that. Amen? Amen. Want your Bible back? Well, you can't have it. Amen. I don't think I want a pink Bible. Amen. Don't forget VBS on August the 7th from 10 to 3 that evening as well. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he turn his face toward you. May he be gracious unto you. And may he grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.